in joke over the week. Lots of horrible spreads. I was referred to as a nasty man once as I put my finger into the Marmite pot. I'm still working that one out. The Psalm 23 describes what it feels like to be back in relationship with God. It describes the goodness, the love, the peacefulness of lying down in rich pastures and alongside the still waters. There's a banqueting table overflowing with good things to eat and drink. And there's the blessing and the love for all our days. You can just feel within the words of this psalm, dripping goodness and love. But in describing what it means to be in relationship with our living God, this psalm also doesn't deny the challenges of our world and our lives. And so the psalm recognizes that things are tough for some of us and can be at different seasons. The psalmist talks about we're walking through the darkest valleys and that there are enemies that we have to face, both natural and spiritual. So you've got these two things going on in the psalm. And interestingly, the image of the Lord as a shepherd, which is central to this psalm, is known throughout all cultures and religions. Well, as one person pointed out, probably not the Eskimos. There aren't too many herds of sheep and goats in the Arctic. But as a result, this Psalm 23, is a favorite across all cultures and many, many religions as well. And just for a moment, I want us to focus back on that memory verse. It starts on that first verse that we learned, verse 3. The Lord refreshes my soul. Just imagine what you're like on a hot summer's day, and you're thirsty. Remember that feeling when you take in a glass of water and how you feel refreshed. Another translation is, the Lord restores my soul. And actually the original meaning was talked about, really the essence in the original language is that the Lord gives back my life. God refreshes our soul. He brings back our life. And it's like you and I, we're like this sort of dry sponge without the Lord. Sometimes in scripture we're talked about really we're dead. But the living water of Jesus Christ, the living water of the Spirit of God that comes and dwells in us when we know Him and are in a relationship with Him, it comes and soaks into every part of our being. Every part of our bodies gets soaked and brought alive. You know that for something to live, it requires water. And Jesus is the living water that refreshes, brings back to life our world and our lives. And you know that. You can feel that when you take a glug of water after when you're parched on a hot summer's day. So that is the Lord that refreshes our soul. Then it goes on to say, it talks about guiding. Now, we need guidance throughout the whole of our lives. And I, as a driver, we all need signs to help us follow the signs and drive on the roads. Anybody know what this sign is? Anybody under 18 who are not driving yet? Anybody know this sign? Anybody at the front? Look up on the screen. Can you see? What's that warning sign for? Do you know? God. A school. That's right. There's a school nearby. That's right. What about this one? Roadworks. Well done. Okay. Try this one for size. Yeah. This was one of the more bizarre ones I found. I have no idea what it's saying, but that's a pretty big mosquito, whatever it is. I don't know about you, but I can find life pretty confusing. Life is pretty perplexing at times, isn't it? I wonder how often you sit there or start a day or get halfway through your day and you're just thinking, what on earth am I supposed to do now? Which direction am I supposed to go? Well, the beauty is that we have a God who guides us along the right paths. He's there alive and living and active for us to engage with. As a family, we try constantly to go first to the Lord to say which is the right way. How do we do these do life together? I often turn around and say, I don't know how people do life without God, because there are so many decisions, so many things to try and work out. Where to send the school, the children to which school, where to live, what job do we do? What do we do with our finances? What do we do with a holiday? We've got, what do we do with a gap year? How do we use our resources? If we're just trying to do it on our own, it becomes utterly exhausting and all the responsibility is on you. The joy about knowing that we have a living God who guides us is that he will show us the right way. And do you know what? One of the things that I find personally is it removes a level of pressure and responsibility. When you say, I don't know what the answer, but I do know that the character of God is that he wants the very, very best for me. So if I take a decision to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know whether it's this, this, or that. And in through prayer and listening to the Lord, he says, I want you to go that way. Then that is my own responsibility to trust the Lord and follow down that path. And you sit there and say, quite frankly, if it all goes wrong, it's God's mess and God needs to sort the problem out if it goes wrong. And there's a I don't say that flippantly, but it is a wonderful freeing thing. It's not like I've got to do it all. And that's part of the joy about being in a living relationship with our sovereign God. So we have a God that guides us along the right paths. I said earlier, the psalmist recognizes that life is not easy. Life is hard for many of us, harder for some than others. But trying to work out how to put food on the table, to pay the mortgage. What if you're suffering with long-term sickness? There's a breakdown in family relationships, the pressure at work. So many of you teenagers have been battling over this last year with the pressure of work with GCSEs, and congratulations to all of you for what you've achieved. For the A-levels, all those are pressure that the world puts on, quite frankly, the pressure of social media and the things that that puts upon us. Life is not always easy. In fact, it's really hard. But the beauty is that we have a God who walks with us through the darkest valley, such that we don't need to fear. We don't need to fear the things that are going to come against us, because we have a loving God who will lead us and protect us and guide us through. Do note that we go through the darkest valleys. We sadly do not go round the darkest valleys. The reality is then the psalmist who wrote this thousands of years ago knows that we go through those dark times. But we have a God who loves every single one of us. God loves you. He knows you. He knows what you need. And if we would trust ourselves with him, he will lead us through. And as we sang in that second song, it will encourage us and he will enable us to be bold, to be strong, and not to be fearful. Why can we do that? Because I said the Lord is with us and he has a rod and a staff that will comfort us. What does that mean? Well, the whole image in the psalm is about shepherds. And of course, as many of you will know, look at this amazing shepherd's crook. This is Isaac's, which he let me borrow today. But a shepherd has a crook, doesn't he? And those are in the ancient cultures particularly, that would have been really understood. And what does the rod and the staff do? Well, it helps protect the sheep. It would be used as a weapon against the enemies, the wild animals coming and attacking the sheep. The shepherd also uses it to guide the sheep. And that's exactly what God has for us. His rod and his staff is there for us to be able to lean on, to be able to have a God who will protect us by chasing off the enemies, but also to guide us where we need to go. We have a God and who is a good shepherd that has a staff and a rod, and we can therefore be comforted and reassured. This psalm is a beautiful poem describing what it is to know our Lord, to be in a living relationship with God, the God who loves you, who loves me, who knows you, who created you, who knows everything about you. And the one way that he expressed his love was that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus to die on a cross so that we might be free and have the fullness of life, which is so much of what the children have been learning about this week. Jesus is not some mythical character in history. He is a historical man who Christians around the world know as their living Savior and the Son of God. Jesus was crucified, he died, and he rose again, overcoming death. And he now is alive to us who believe. And he's able to be alive to you if you don't yet believe. And so I want to, at this moment, as I come to an end, remind you that if you don't know this Jesus who refreshes your soul, who can guide you through the darkness of those awful valleys, who can protect you against the challenges of the world and show you and bring you the fullness of life, I would love to just say a prayer now for anybody who would like to say yes to Jesus, their Savior, and come into the knowledge of what it's like to be in that lush garden with those still waters of living water in your life. And it's very simple to accept Jesus into your life. What we do is we say we recognize you as the Son of God and what you did on the cross. We say sorry that we've been living our own lives in our own strength. And we turn towards God and say, I want you in my life. Please come and forgive me. Now, if that's you, I'd like to say a little prayer. Say that prayer in your heart as I say these words. And then please come and talk to me afterwards. I'd love to pray with you and to stand with you and speak to you. So let me pray. If you would like Jesus in your life, say this in your heart. Jesus, if you are real, please come into my heart. I trust that you are the Son of God who died on the cross for me and rose again. I am sorry for living my life away from you, and I choose today to turn to you and live my life with you. In Jesus' name, amen.